Lord, we came to seek your face. We came because we're hungry for whatever it is you have tonight. Holy Spirit, we yield completely to you. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in this building. And Lord, we place a draw on you. I know there's some people in here who are struggling, and they don't know how to ask for help with you. So on their behalf, I'm asking you tonight to release words of wisdom and understanding to help people walk in the fullness of everything your Son released through the cross. Lord, we bless your name tonight. We bless your plans for this world, for our lives, for the countries. We bless you, sir. And we look to you for our source of everything. You're the only one that will ever satisfy us. No, nothing else will satisfy us. Oh, it'll be a lingering or a casual pleasure for a short moment, but only when we're in you are we fully satisfied. And I'm asking you to strengthen us and equip us to be fully reliant on you and hear when you're speaking, hear when you're breathing, and release to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I know that sometimes it takes a while to understand your goodness. And I also know that you give us opportunity every day to praise you while we're in storms. There's always a moment of choice where we can look in the natural and the flesh and the situation or the circumstances at hand that may not be good. But there comes a point where we have to recognize that no matter what, he's good. And he has a way to break through and lead us into the promised land. And meanwhile, the enemy tries to get us to look at the trouble and the trial and go, here it is again. Here it is again. Is your God really going to rescue you? I want to encourage you to read the Word of God because it's full of illustration and practical stories of how people overcame through faith and patience. In fact, there's a lot of scripture that talks about enduring and why we have to go through it. It's to purify and separate the flesh from the spirit, because in our flesh dwells no good thing, nothing. You know, we may think it's good, but I'm going to tell you something. The season that we're at the tip of the season, people are like, wait, I don't know what you're talking about. Let me just back up. Holly released a very powerful word last week about the season that we're in, or that we're at the edge of it. And I had a dream as well, and I'm not saying this is, don't hang your hat on what I'm saying right now, but God speaks to me through dreams for me to prepare. And in the dream, I saw the storm. Now, we've been talking about the storm that's coming, and everyone thinks in the natural. Listen, it's not, this is a spiritual storm, and it's designed to bring us out of bondage into the promised land. So let's get our perspective straight. It's not to hide food and to every man for himself. That's the flesh, and the work of the flesh will lead you into bondage and fear, because that's the design of the world, that the fallen world. But God is our provider. And he will lead and guide us into all truth. In fact, he gave us the Holy Spirit, like the compass, to lead and guide us. What do I do now? And so I had this dream, and it wasn't a long dream, but in the dream, I saw the storm, and it was here. And I looked up, and the first couple raindrops, you know, when a storm comes, it's usually like heavy, like droplets of rain. And they're like far and few between. It's like the very beginning. That is what I saw and felt in this dream. And I said, oh my gosh, it's here. The storm is here. I need to go warn the people. And I ran. I was running to like school buildings. And I'm saying, the storm is here. You need to take shelter. Take shelter. The storm is here. And people were like, what storm? What are you talking about? And I went into, like, at one place I went, and kids were playing in the playground. Nobody seemed to be paying attention to what was going on. It was as though they could not see. They could not perceive. They were so dull, they had no idea what was going on. And so I remember going to this one school building, and I was like in the back of the, like they have like maintenance shops, and the doors were open. I'm like, shut the doors, batten down the hatches. Don't you see the storm is here? And then I woke up. And I was like, okay, the storm is here. We've been seeing the storm coming. Holly saw the cloud, and it's a white cloud. It's not a dark cloud. It's God. God is doing this. God is bringing the storm to separate and to the chaff, the wheat and the chaff. It's to stir up. You know, he's not going, aha, you're chaff, you're wheat. No, he's not doing that. What he's doing is he's shaking everything that can be shaken for a reason. Because if it's of the flesh, let it go. You are not going to be able to hold on to that little toy or idol when the winds blow hard. You can carry it for so far, because the winds aren't here yet. But when the winds come, you're not going to want to hold on to this. You're going to cling to him. And so I'm not trying to freak people out. My job is to pray. And you know I'm not a doomy, gloomy type. I never pay attention to what's going on, only what he tells me. And so what I'm seeing is, this is hard to say, friends, but what I'm seeing is we're not ready. Now I say we are not ready. The body of Christ is not ready. And one of the things that this storm is designed to do is to knock down all man-made religion. Anything that glorifies self, brings attention to self, God is not pleased with that. That's called idolatry. And idolatry always brings a curse. Yeah. And God does it for our own protection because he wants us blessed. There's a better way. Just like when the Israelites, you know, they got underneath the bondage of slavery and then it got worse and worse. Remember me talking about the taskmaster not that long ago and how he loves to drive and keep you so under him that you don't even know to look up and ask Jesus for help because he already freed us. It's a choice to walk out from slavery. And so, but if you get so heavy loaded with it, you're like, well, this is not how it's going to be. You know who owns you? God owns you, not the devil. If you're in slavery, under bondage, that's not God's plan for you. And you can come out. You want to know how you come out? Jesus, help me. Set me free. And he will. He will. It may take a little while to unlock and close the doors, but sometimes it's like, bam. You know, I've seen people get delivered off of heroin, drugs, all kinds of stuff, pornography, instantly, when their heart is ready. Right. Nothing else but the heart. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter your family situation or status or any of that. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Isn't that great news? Yeah. It's the only system that's incorruptible. Can't buy, can't manipulate. It's all about the heart, the condition of the heart. And meanwhile, let's go back to the beginning of your time. Every one of you, you have somebody who hates you. It's called the devil, the adversary. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. His job is to take you out prematurely so that the seed inside of you never develops. There's seeds inside every one of you. Every one of you, and they're good seeds. They're plentiful seeds. And meanwhile, the enemy, you know, uses somebody to say, blah, blah, blah. And then you go, oh, or you'll never amount to blah, blah. Oh, you know, woundings of the heart. And you can take it for so long, and then one day you make a decision. It's called an inner vow. I'm done with this program. And then you try the self-made person, and you try to get, you know, get her done in the flesh and on your earth because you can't rely on anybody. Who am I talking to in here? You don't have to raise your hand. I know who they are. It's okay. You're not alone. And so the object of the devil's game is to keep you in bondage and under submission to him because he knows he has no real power. And so he'll use people. He'll use churches. He'll use family members. He'll use your best friend to say, well, how can that be? Because we're flesh. A little fiery dart is all it takes. And then you go, hey, I don't like the outfit you're wearing today. Wee, you know. I'm never coming back. She don't like my outfit. Whatever. And I'm not, you know, And I'm thinking, why did I just say that? Well, because I caught the fiery dart in the air, so in the atmosphere. We have to be wise to this stuff and stop reacting to it. What does it say in Ephesians? Quench. You know, put the fire out of those darts. Lick your fingers and put that thing out before you get offense in your heart, because that's what it's designed. It's designed. Those fiery darts are designed to cause division. And it doesn't matter. Division between who? Anybody and everybody. That's the job, is to segregate or separate the sheep, the little vulnerable baby sheep, from the flock, or from your family, or, you know, how many people do we know that have wayward family members? All it takes is division. One little fiery dart to, listen, I had to repent of this. I have to repent. Sometimes I say stupid stuff. You know, I'm human. And then I go, oh, God, Lord, why did I say that? Well, for one thing, you didn't check in, and for another, you just caught the fiery dart. I don't beat myself up anymore. I say, I'm so sorry. I repent. Will you forgive me? I break those words I spoke over your life. That's it. I don't carry it any further. Once I recognize the enemy has deceived me, I come out of the enemy's camp. I don't go back and try to negotiate with him and ask him never to do that again. He's a liar. He will never tell you the truth. He's not your friend. And some people in here think he's your friend. He's not your friend. Some people in here are comfortable because that's all you know. Well, I'm going to tell you somebody who knows you, who created you in his image and is beckoning you to just say, Papa, help me. And watch the mountains crumble. That's the power of God's love. That's the power of God's love. That's the mountain moving power of God's love. And then Jesus taught us about the mountain moving power. Speak to the mountains. Command them to go in faith. In faith. And here's some of the problem is we've got a lot of faith people who listen to faith, but they don't believe in faith. They just believe in the formula. It's not a formula. It's a heart condition. And I had to develop my heart, my heart for faith. I had to grow it. And how do you do it? You speak it. You speak it. And then you start to believe it. And it grows roots deep in your heart. And then you go, hey, that's right. And when you go, hey, that's right, that's when the mountain moves. It's not the times before when you're going, I believe, because you don't believe. So we're in the season, and God is beckoning us to cling to him. Don't try to figure out how to do anything, but just cling to him. He'll teach you what you need to know right now for what you need to know. He won't tell you next week because he knows you, and he knows you'll jump ahead and do it without him. Just saying. Here it is. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Oftentimes, we just get a sentence, a word, a picture, or a faint idea from the Holy Spirit, and that's enough. Then we say, that's the seed. Then we say, what are you saying? And if he doesn't say anything, he's trying to get you to build faith and trust in him that he's got you and it's going to be okay. That's where the development starts to come, where that song, you know, that was it the last song we sang? His goodness overflows, all that. You know, you can't get that through just listening to words. You have to get that through experience, through the trials and through the tribulations. And when the basement floods and you're like, why did the basement flood? And stop trying to figure it out. You go, hallelujah, I know Jesus is going to fix this. I know this is a scheme of the enemy, and Lord, I give you praise and glory and honor. You know, you fall down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are awesome. You are the mighty one. I break trauma. I break, you know, whatever. Instead of going, why did this happen to me? When you engage with the why, you have engaged with the spirit of doubt. And when you engage with doubt, guess what happens next? The thief comes and he steals. And so I have to say a couple things. Okay. I hardly ever say, Lord, what are you going to say tonight? But when I was driving out of the driveway, I said, Lord, do you have anything tonight? And he said, boundaries. And I'm like, boundaries? Wow, what could that be all about? And so I'm going to read a scripture, and I'm going to springboard off it, okay? Because you're all thinking boundaries from people, right? Boundaries from that one that keeps bugging me, right? No, that's not what he's saying. I'm talking about property boundaries. Okay, I'm in Deuteronomy 19:14. Now, there's a reason why the Lord's saying this, because it's like shock therapy, like shock theology therapy. How about that? Yeah. Because you think boundaries. Oh, I'm gonna have lines so toxic people can't come near me anymore. That's what you think, right? Or this far you can go and no further, you know. No. Property boundaries. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of the old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now I'm going to read it again. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now this, I think, is New King James. And here's what the Lord told me about this. And how this came up was, I was having lunch today with my neighbors. And the surveyors came to survey, and they were having trouble finding the markers. And I thought, well, that's because it's been 20-something years since it's been surveyed. And then the Lord reminded me of all the storms and all the floods and all the land movement that takes place. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm not even thinking. You know, I'm just like having a conversation with the Lord. And so I'm having lunch with the neighbors, and we were laughing a little bit because they could not find the boundary markers. And my neighbor says to me, I knocked down our boundary marker. And I started laughing. He goes, because we butt up to the forest preserve. And he said, I know the forest preserve's too lazy to find the marker. And so what he did was he encroached on the forest preserve's property and slowly took over and made his yard a lot bigger. And so it was causing confusion to the land surveyors because it didn't match, you know, what it was supposed to look like. And so we just kind of chuckled about it. And we kind of know where the markers are. You kind of know your boundary areas. And do you ever need a boundary marker? Not really. I mean, what good are they to common day people, right? So I'm driving here. I'm thinking just a normal, you know, that was it. No, the Lord's downloading me about boundary markers in the spirit and how people try to knock them down to take a little land from you, so to speak. And I'm like, ooh, that's good, Lord. And so, you know, we live by a creek. And when they put the post there today, they said it's close. It's not the exact place because the original iron is knocked over because of the storms that have come through. And I'm like, my first thought is, I want it in the right spot right now. You know, like, go move that temporary one and you put it where it's supposed to go because there's an extra 10 feet there or so. And not that I care, I'm moving, who cares? But there's this principle of boundary markers are not supposed to be moved. And there's a reason for that, because they come with a blessing. Your land, your body, your possession, which God gave you, actually carries inheritance. But if you don't tend to the boundary markers, the weeds will creep in, the neighbors will come and squat. There's a profound thing that the Lord is trying to get us to understand. We get used to the casual storms that come along, and maybe the land moves a little. You know, with creeks, they move and they change. And I remember when the creek used to be like right by the yard, and now it's like 10 feet back from the yard. You know, and that's just happened over the years. And you get used to the ebb and flow of the storms in your life. But meanwhile, there are boundary markers. There are stakes that shall not be removed, because it deals with the men of old. Think of that. Think of the patriots. Think of the people that have gone before you and fought the good fight. They stood against the schemes of the enemy. They stood against government. They stood against the devil. They stood against persecution to hold steadfast those boundary markers in the spirit. And we're in a storm season right now, where the boundary markers are being pushed and moved without our permission, just like my neighbor did to the forest preserve. And now it's all groomed, and you'd never know that he didn't own all that land. It's a lot of land. It's amazing. His yard is beautiful, but his yard is really very small in the natural. You know, who cares? I don't care. But what I'm saying is The winds have blown and pushed on the boundary markers, and some of us are like, did I have boundary markers? My parents didn't tell me about the promises. My parents didn't tell me about the inheritance. Well, I'm going to tell you who you can talk to. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. You're not grafted in. You are his seed. So you have an inheritance from God, a promise from God. So if you think you're in a storm, some of you are like, well, the winds have blown me a mile out of my property. I'm not even in my house, in my spot. That's okay. I know. Amen. Yeah. You know, I'm squatting. I'm in my neighbor's yard and I didn't even know it. Because it's green here and it's nice, but it ain't mine. And you're wanting a blessing of the Lord, but you're in the wrong house. You're in the wrong section of the land. It's not your land. God's calling us back to the proper marked area that he gave us. He released it in heaven. And I know this is like parable, but not, okay? Catch this if you can, because it's a little deep, but it's not. Some of you are like, oh, I'm going after this. Listen, I wish I would have had more time to study, but I think there's, if you move somebody's property line, property marker in the Bible, there's like, you get in big trouble. They don't take it lightly. And that's a parable, because if the devil is messing with your house, set the perimeters and get back. Because here's the thing, when the winds are blowing, if your markers are in ground, grafted in deep into the ground, your structure will stand if it's of him. But if your structure has slowly moved away and you're, you know, 10 feet in your neighbor's yard and the winds blow, you're in the wrong spot. That's not your plot. Just from busyness. You know, I got another house. I bought a house, I don't know, a year ago. The fence line that the neighbors put up, the fence is in my yard. I don't care. Who cares? It's a fence. But God cares. God cares. I'm like, I don't care. Who cares? It's a fence. Now, what about in the spiritual realm? Who's moved? Who's trying to get you to compromise your belief system? Well, it's only... is it really sin? Who am I to say what I think or believe? Listen, we're in a season where everything's blowing, and if we don't declare God's word out loud, what truth is, your property's going to blow this way, and you're going to be, you know, in the storms, let me just tell you, because that's how it works. In his will, there is peace. In his will, there is protection. Think of Psalm 91. If you're squatting in your neighbor's yard, you're open for the storm. There's no covering there. God has a covering over your life, but when you're in his will, so to speak, you know, is this too deep for you? Do you want me to keep going? Okay. So here's the thing. The winds are blowing, the storm is starting, and some of us are like, I'm in the wrong place. And I just woke up right now, and I realized, I've been sleeping for so long. Here I am. What do I do? Run. No. Jesus, I am so sorry. How did I get so off course? How did I allow destruction to come in? Will you help me? When you call out to your good Father, he will find a way to help you and bring you into his protection. That's his nature. That's the goodness of God. Now, some of you be like, that don't apply to me. Okay. I'm not arguing. I'm the ambassador. I don't get to have an opinion. And here's where we get into trouble. Some of us think we have opinions and need to tell them. I'm just saying, we're going to see a lot of opinions flying, and it's good. It's good because it shows the intent of the heart. And don't remember, the heart is wicked. We have wicked hearts without the Lord. And so sometimes we got good and bad mixed in. Does anybody have a perfect heart in here? You ever have a bad thought? You ever feel like murdering somebody or stealing or killing or any of that stuff? Or maybe just running away? You just haven't been pushed hard enough. You gave in. Yay! You succumbed to the pressure, which is good. But some of us are like, nah, I'm standing. Last man stand wins. No, not when it's a flesh fight. When it's a spirit fight, yeah, last man standing wins and you're losing, devil. But if it's against a person, you know what? We have to recognize what's flesh, what's a demon speaking through a person, and what is our battle, and when to say something and when not. You know, evangelists, they love to get people saved. That's what they love to do, right? They'll do anything to save a person. It like makes them feel really good because it's their call and that's how God designed them, right? But sometimes it's best to wait and not speak until they're ripe for picking, so to speak. And if they go too soon and pull at the fruit, there's nothing there. And then there's like, well, that branch just got cropped, you know? So what I'm saying is be careful when you speak. Persecution is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Wahoo! I didn't sign up for persecution. Well, if they did it to the master, they're going to do it to you. And let's stop playing church and everything's nice, because we got to grow up and we got to stand tall in him. You know, I've been in front of the elder board years ago, and I thought that was tough. But you know what? When they called me in front, it was a blindsided thing. When they did, I didn't say, this is my stance and this is why I am the way. I said, Holy Spirit, what do you say? And he said, say nothing. So I said nothing, which drove them crazy. Because there was no arguing. Because then it would have been a flesh fight. Who wants to fight in the flesh? Not me. I like the Holy Ghost battles, where you stay hidden in him and pray in tongues and declare it and watch it happen in the natural. See, we are citizens in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And I know I'm all over the board, but there's like 17 million things going on in here. So our citizenship is in heaven. So we're seated in heaven. Let's go there. Let's figure out how to do that, okay? Let's grow in him. Let's put on his nature and stop this. Well, I'm gonna read the book about the courts of heaven. No, go and abide in your place in heaven. Learn him and how he flows instead of a system that you think you're gonna tap into and like a genie rub it and get a breakthrough. It may happen, but chances are it won't. And then you're like, well, God, this doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because it's worked through the flesh. There's a way to win in the spirit. I remember years ago, I didn't even know anything about Robert Henderson, who I love, and I don't really know anything about him now. But I remember years ago when I was going through a terrible time. Terrible time. I didn't listen to a teacher. I was listening to the Holy Ghost because my life depended on it. I needed to know every move I was supposed to make because they were out to get me, you know. And so what happened to me is I remember one day the Lord, there was this no breakthrough. I did everything. I prayed. I fasted. I spoke. I did everything. And I'll never forget this. The Holy Spirit, I was walking and the Holy Spirit said, prepare a document and come to the courts of heaven. And I'm like, okay, I didn't even know there was such a thing. I'm like, okay. So like a little kid, I did this like legal binding agreement of what the Word of God says. And I had an appointment and I sat in my chair. And I actually spent time, and I'm not going to go into the great detail of it, but I did what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit told me to do, and I saw a breakthrough within a week. And it had been a year with no breakthrough. There's a way to win, and it's not by the flesh. It's not by some program. And so I'm not saying go out and go storm the courts of heaven. Go out and find Holy Spirit, find Jesus, find the Father, and he will lead and guide you in all truth. There's too many programs, there's too much junk out there, and some of it's not junk, but because we're fleshly and we want to do it in the flesh, and we don't get the breakthrough, well, I did the courts of heaven, why aren't they working? Do you know Holy Spirit? Did you know Jesus, the advocate? Do you know anything about the Father? No? Well, we'll spend time asking those questions first before jumping into a system that's not designed to work that way. That's like being in kindergarten in the natural and going, you know what, I'm going to run for Supreme Court. And you go fill out the paperwork and you don't get elected and you wonder why. It's the same way. So we're going to see stuff in ourselves. And we'll go, why am I acting like this? And the Holy Spirit goes, I'm so glad you asked. But if you don't ask, you're not going to know why. You're going to think it's you or the weather or, you know, the latest conspiracy theory. Listen, there's always going to be conspiracy theories and there's always going to be weather. And none of it makes a difference. What makes a difference is, are you spending time with the Holy Spirit? And I know there's some people in here who have had terrible upbringings, and you're like, I just don't know how to relate because I don't understand how you relate to somebody you can't see. Holy Spirit, I don't even know anything, but will you teach me? And then when I started to hear his voice, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'd hear about his love and I'd think, how does that even work? How do you love a God? And I'd say, will you teach me how to love you? Will you show me how you see me? And when I would say those things, he's obligated because I'm his child. I belong to them. And so he would find a way, he'd make a way. And I'd get a little closer to him, a little sliver closer to him. And he'd always be as gentle or as hard as he needed to be. Meaning, sometimes I would just know what he was saying and I'd be like, oh, that's great. But sometimes I'm like, I'm still not getting it. There's something wrong and I'm not understanding it. I know the problem is me and I don't know what questions they ask. I think I've asked them all. And I'm even asking questions like, I'm asking the questions I don't even know to ask questions. And then stuck. But here's the cool thing. I know God's good and I know he'll show me because he has in the past. And see, you build on the history with him, just like you build on history with your family or spouse or loved ones. And so, in my case, I can pretty much say when I don't understand anything and it's like been a long delay, he'll give me a dream because he overrides my natural thinking. You know, maybe I'm talking too much and I'm like, I don't understand this. Will you tell me? And he's trying to, but I'm talking so much that he can't even get a word in edgewise. And so, best time is when you're sleeping because then your mouth is closed unless you're snoring and he still can get through because you're not really, you're like open. And so he'll give a dream. And sometimes the dreams you think, oh my gosh, that's a horrible dream. But you're thinking it through in the flesh instead of asking him, what does this dream mean? And then you find out, oh, it means exactly where I'm at right now. And I get it now, ding, ding, ding. And then you say, Lord, how do I pray this dream through? How do I pray it through? And then he'll give you a section and you'll pray it through, but then there's like, you're kind of like hanging there. He may give you an updated dream or he may send Kim and say, hey, I got a word. The Lord said, blah, blah, blah. And you'll be like, next part. See, he doesn't leave you and go, okay, work on yourself and get yourself healed. He says, okay, come on. Oh, you're still not getting it? Hey, you know, he'll cause a way, a billboard, a friend, a sermon, you know, a song. And you'll be like, ah, because it goes in the spirit. You know when it's God, because it's like, ah, it feels so good. Even if it's a ch, you know. And we got to get past the ch, you know. Listen, I was thinking about this earlier today with the Lord. God disciplines those that he loves. And you know, we kind of got away from discipline because, you know, let's just say what happened in the 70s and the 60s, you know, and free love and all that stuff. And so if that's in the natural. And then, you know, a spirit of rebellion came through a lot of that. And then spirit of entitlement. And now we got a bunch of kids who don't know anything about discipline. Or we got a bunch of hurt people that were so abused when they were young. When they come to church, we say, oh, we love you unconditionally. And we do. But if we're not correcting and pointing them to Jesus, then what are we? A club? A tickling ear club? Listen, we all stand in front of God one day, and I have to give an account for every word I spoke. And I've been like challenged in this last season not to hold back. And if it's going to bless somebody and help them break through, you say it with love. You don't do it unless the Holy Ghost gives it to you. There's words I have in here that I've held for years. They're sitting on the shelf waiting for when their heart is ready to receive, because it's due season. It's in due season. And I'm seeing this due season is speeding up. You know, I've held a word a couple years and I just couldn't release it. It was a word of correction, not for the person, but of something that was spoke. And I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't release it until the time that the Lord said now. And even when you release a word like that, it's in faith and you only know part of it. Does that make sense? Yeah, but we're going to start seeing this and you're going to go, aha, now I know why I was thinking screwy, or it didn't make sense, or I was believing this lie, or hoping for this to happen. Because a person of the flesh gave a word that wasn't true. And it caused delay or stumbling or spiritual, what's that called? Stunting? So the storm is here, guys, and you're going to see people get ugly. Okay? Boundary markers. Steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. People are not going to like me. I know that. I know people do not like me today. I know people didn't like me when I was 2 years old. I don't care anymore. See, the thing is I don't let other people rule my walk in God. And you got to get whole enough to not be affected if somebody's mad at you or if they interpreted something you said and it wasn't what you said at all. I can't tell you how many times that happens. I'll deliver a word and all of a sudden I'll hear back. I'll be like, play the tape. Because that ain't even anything. You know, you heard that completely. But oftentimes, it's what they need to hear. Some of it's good and some of it's not good. You know, some of it edifies and some doesn't. It's not up to me to pick and choose. I just deliver the word of the Lord. And then I say, how are we doing? What else are you saying? Are we going this way now or that way? You know, I don't get to, truthfully, I don't want to minister. I never wanted to minister. This was supposed to be 6 weeks long. 10 years ago.
12.
I don't keep track. You know, it was a six-week assignment, and I went doing it, kicking and screaming the whole way. And I feel like I haven't even stepped into what God's called me to do. Now, I'm saying that because was I lazy and flabby in the spirit? Did I flesh out? I don't know, but I know what he's promised me, and I'm not seeing it yet. But yet I'm not blaming him. Oftentimes, breakthrough is up to us. There might be a little warfare, you know, I did release it 21 days ago stuff. You know, I've been fighting. It was released when you prayed. I know that. But sometimes it's, oh, there's a butterfly. Oh, that person needs help. You know, it's the little distractions. You know, the little foxes spoil the vine. You got to watch that stuff. And I'm tuning in and I'm showing up with all my heart and I blow it daily. Okay. I blow it daily, but I'm here. I am again, Lord, you got to help me. Here I am again. What are we working on now? And so I believe everybody blows it daily and we have to give grace to our neighbors and stop condemning them when they blow it daily. And instead say, you know what? I think I'm going to start praying for that person so they get their victory or their breakthrough. And then watch what happens. Two things. You're sowing seeds for that person's breakthrough, you're going to get. Remember how it works in the scriptures? What you sow, you reap. I'm just saying. Some people in here have no friends, not one friend. You want to know how you get friends? You sow into helping people. Sow kindness. And it's not up to you to pick your friend. God will send a seed, a harvest that you've sown. September's going to be an interesting month. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on in September. Stay focused on God, not on the junk. Because this is a time, there's like a refining happening, but the grace is so vast. Like, it's just amazing. When I say the grace is so vast, what I mean is, if you can stay true and don't leave home without him, so to speak. You know, some of us, when I say us, I say this lightly because I don't like calling people out, but some of us just get busy in the day and forget about God. And then we say, hey, it's bedtime and I forgot about God. Hey, God, thanks for blessing my day. And you know, hallelujah, I love you, good night. He's desiring relationship. And when you show up and sow seeds into him, you will get him. No counterfeit. And what happens is when you really put him first, time stands still. It's amazing what happens. And when I say that, I mean, because time is in the earth. But when you say, Lord, I'm just going to worship you for 5 minutes. And then I don't know if you can ever worship him for 5 minutes, but if you say, I'm just going to worship you and praise you for 5 minutes, the next thing you know, it's 10 minutes later or 12 or 15, and you go, oh, that was easy. Maybe another five, and then a half hour. And maybe you get so caught up that you're worshiping him and just loving on him, and then you go, you know what, I'm not even going to do the dishes. You know, maybe you're a housewife and you got to do dishes. And then you just, here I am, I'm staying here. And then you feed God and God feeds you. And then the next thing you know, your kid comes in and says, hey, Mom, I did the dishes. I'm just saying, we're in a season where the supernatural is bound by our own decisions and our own actions. Here's a quick little story. We're moving, needed boxes, did not want to drive to Woodman's, half hour drive. And we're like, Lord, could you help us get some boxes? And so we're driving to go get an egg roll. And I flip on my phone because I didn't want to drive. So I looked at my phone because I was selling something. And there was listed 2.1 miles from my house, free boxes. Come get them. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, I text the lady. She's like, yep, they're yours. Come get them. See, that's God. He goes out of his way when we go out of our way to help him, please him, worship him, be in him. And so, you know, Holly talks about the one to many. And that is really awesome, but it's so deep and vast, most people miss it. They think, oh, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with God and then I'll have the many. It's living in him. Really, it's not about spending time. It's him in you moving and being. And that's the way, that's the walk of the Spirit that he's desiring. And it's so easy that most will miss it, because they complicate it with formulas. And part of the storm is we're going to see a lot of men, because God's not going to have, he won't be mocked. Yeah. You know, there's a time, and he, you know, there's a time in every season. And I'm not saying this is the end. I'm not saying that, because nobody knows. But I'm saying there's going to be some shaking. You remember when the idols, you know, when they were talking about, they were worshiping the idols, and then God would knock it down, and then they'd put it back up. You know, I feel like that's the season we're in, so to speak, where, you know, there's so much idolatry in the church and here's the cool thing. God will always tell someone first to their self, you know, hey, can we work on this? Or, hey, let's deal with this little thing, this little hangnail that causes you to go, ah, you know, let's deal with this at home privately. And then, no, God, I'm good. Thank you. Right. Then it's like, hey, do you think we could talk? I will, but I'm busy saving the world. I'll get back to you, God. And then the next one is maybe a terrifying dream, you know, because God's trying to get your attention. But he doesn't do it to call you out. He does it to call you in him. And so we're seeing that right now. And so don't be shocked when pastors start stepping down or taking jobs in the construction field and saying they've been called to the workplace. Pastoring is very tough. I see a lot of pastors. I know a lot of pastors, and I'm sad for pastors, because truthfully the flock is a mess, and everyone thinks that the pastor is only there for them, and it's very hard. And then you've got all this after the service. Well, I didn't like the way he dressed. He looked the other way. He never looked at me. He didn't say hi to me. You know, all this baby stuff, which does nothing for the kingdom of God. And then what it does is it puts hooks in him, and he gets weighted down further and further. And then the enemy's like, I don't think that message was very good. And if he's not sharp in the spirit, and it's easy to get unsharp or to backslide, because all of a sudden somebody's calling, my son's committed suicide, I need you. And you go, you know, there's always a need. And here's the thing, there's always a need in the body of Christ. And this may be harsh, but the Lord uses this with me. There's always going to be poor people. And I was like, well, okay. And there's always a crisis. And you're not the one to go save everyone. We get constantly text messages, pray, pray, pray. I choose over, you know, I'll pray over any text message that comes in for prayer. But I choose over, I need you to call me right now. Right now. Right now. You know, okay. First of all, it's 5 a.m. and I'm still sleeping. I don't need to have my phone on at that time, you know. And so, or it's 2 a.m. and it's nothing. It's their toe hurts, or you know, and or I'm, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Well, okay, you got me uncomfortable now. You know, slam, slam on the phone, you know. You know, I don't answer my phone at night. I had to put boundaries in place. You know, and then sometimes if it's like a widow or, you know, somebody that's really going through a hard time, I still have, because my heart is compassion. Oh, I got to help. But I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? And most of the time he says, just wait. And so I wait, because a lot of times they solve their own problems or they move on to the next prayer line. And sometimes people don't want help. They just want sympathy. And I'm not tangling up in that. I'm not into that fleshly junk. I don't care about it. And so we'll just make the disclaimer. If you came here to get a that a girl or a that a boy, you're in the wrong sermon. And this is the wrong place. You know, we say get your big boy pants on and get your big girl pants on, because we're all in this together and we got to grow in God. But we'll help you along the way, but we don't feed the demons. We don't feed the demons here. We'll deliver you and show you the way out to freedom, but we won't come along and say, oh, you poor thing, you're not feeling good today. Here, let me adjust your bib. You know, we don't do that. We say, you want some truth? Guess what? Your healing happened at the cross. Let's pray in agreement right now. And if you don't have faith, leave, because we're gonna pray. You know, that's what we do. And some people don't like.
When you were talking about boundaries, I was hearing part of another scripture, which ends up being Psalm 16.
Okay, read it.
And I felt like the Lord said, so if you guys could maybe mark this in a note or remember it, because he's inviting us to declare this over our lives, like as a declaration. Right now in this season, it's a response to what was being preached. So Psalm 16, this is the NIV, because it actually has the word boundaries. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, this is 5 and 6 of Psalm 16. Lord, you are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make me known to the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Amen. That's good.
Wait, what was that again?
That was 16. Psalm 16. And that happens to be
that's
the NIV.
Cool.
A lot of them say lines.
Psalm 16?
Yeah. Psalm 16.
Wait, you just, like, that just came to you just now?
As she was preaching, I heard, surely the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. So I researched it and saw that it was Psalm 16.
So let's do a declaration. Father, we thank you for everything you're doing.
Father, we thank you for everything you're doing.
We say yes.
We say yes.
And now, Kim, say that sentence, the first one that you heard.
Surely the boundary lines have fallen for me.
Surely the boundary lines have fallen for me.
In pleasant places.
In pleasant places.
And I have a beautiful inheritance.
And I have a beautiful inheritance.
And Lord,
if the winds have blown me off course, and I'm out of my boundary lines that you have destined for me, I ask you to move me back in place. I give you permission. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.